Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Ezra Peregrine. Today on the show, Cara and Kelly and best friends forever for life.
We catch up with the actors Izzy and Scarlett.
And TBC. There is,
that's it. It's a big feature.
It is.
But normally there'll be a second thing. That's why I put that line there. I forgot to take it out. Never mind.
We do love a double cut.
All that and a lot more today on Shout Out. Huh? I just randomly kicked off another track then.
Oh, I do like a shuffle. No, it was intentional.
Yeah.
Remix. Yeah. Mix. Love that.
So, hello, one and all.
Hello.
How are we all?
Pretty good. Bit tired, you know, loving
so
a bit.
So she's drinking
of,
a caffeine drink.
As we just discussed, it doesn't affect her.
No, it doesn't.
No, you're
one
hyper all the time, really.
Ardeart Star. So one
is that the posh version?
The Ardeart Star. Well, yeah, one can sleep after like 5 expresses because one has the Ardeart Star. And one is Ligabita Quar. So anyway, Ligabita.
You sound like my hockey team at my school where I went to. That's how everyone spoke there as well.
Did they? Mm. So are you Ligabita Quar?
Yeah.
Qua?
Yeah.
Super. Such fun. Did you have caviar with breakfast?
I might have outed myself there.
Oh, did you?
Slightly posh background. But.
You might have outed your posh background. Not out as gay.
No. It was the '90s. I didn't know I was.
Everyone didn't know I was gay.
No, had no idea. My mild obsession with the rugby playing French teacher had literally nothing to do.
They were just really, really good at sports.
Yeah, the fact I really, really liked the head of my house had literally nothing to do with anything.
I was just outed before I knew kind of what gay was.
Everybody just told me. I really think that someone could do like a drama about my years in the 90s not knowing I was gay yet acting extremely gay.
Yeah.
I think that would be quite a good comedy because everyone knew, but I didn't.
No, and I didn't even. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was at college and my second year, my friend Anne said, "Why is one of your folders completely covered with Angelina Jolie?" I just really like her movies.
Yeah, she just has a great
yeah, she's just
movies.
Great. She's such a good actress in Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Like she's so athletic.
She should have won an Oscar. No, she was robbed.
Yeah. I wonder. I'd like to now see who was in the running for Oscars that year.
You see, my Angelina Jolie was in Hackers. That was my Angelina Jolie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sort of a cool gothy, very kind
very
of out there
hair.
Cyber geek girl.
A bit after our time, isn't it? It, Terry.
Hackers? That came in like 1993.
Yeah,
I wasn't watching Angelina Jolie, was I?
No, but there were some really hot men in it.
There were, yeah.
I mean, I really fancied Marky Mark until he came out with a whole load of homophobic.
Oh, Marky Mark.
That's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. That's an interesting one.
But when I was like teenager, he was modelling for Calvin Klein.
I've seen the photos.
I think he's since apologised.
Yes, he has.
And it was a kind of time when they were all being very homophobic. Yeah.
And not to excuse it, he was in his early 20s.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate when people say, look, I was wrong. I'm trying to learn and do better. So it doesn't excuse what he's done, but
that's
at least
true.
He's...
genuinely, at the time when he made the comments and I saw it in the news, I was mortified.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I know he's straight. I've always known he's straight, but he's a really good-looking guy. Yeah. And I really, really want to look like him.
Let me just fantasize for 1 minute, Mark.
You know,
please,
then
Mark.
And then he came out
Mark.
With that and I was like, well, that means you're also not a nice person. And I don't want to...
The fantasy's gone.
Yeah, completely killed.
You can't pretend to run into him in a coffee shop now.
No.
Interestingly, shortly after that outrage in London, the activist group found a picture of a naked Marky Mark and it was plastered around London with the slogan, "Not just a tiny mind then, Mark."
Wow, that's
don't piss off the gay community, guys.
I agree. I just want to point out that my other folder was Hugh Grant.
Yeah, that's relatable. Lesbians love Hugh Grant as well.
It was his hair.
I can't explain that, but yeah.
Like, do you know
he
what
was very lesbian friendly.
Yeah, but it's also like, do you want to date him or do you want to look like him?
Well...
Yeah, mine was both.
Yeah.
They used to be the website, didn't they? Lesbians that looked like Justin Bieber.
Loved that website.
That?
Yeah. I mean, I felt for Justin, but it was a brilliant website.
Are you having a go at every single lesbian haircut circa 2006? There's nothing wrong with that haircut, okay?
Fun fact, I uploaded my photo and I've got over 300 likes.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow. Yeah. Viral.
I know, it was so long ago though. This is like before the gram.
And you still have that haircut? Like, what gift?
Oh, I'll show you photos later because the haircut was based on the baby.
On the swoop.
Music.
The kind of swoop and then
swoop.
Yeah.
Side.
Oh, yeah. What a way to intro a show. Yeah. How we all side came out. Fringe. Oh, you look like Justin Bieber.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't. I was outed. I don't know about you guys, but
I remember before I came out, my friends having an idea, and they called a meeting.
Oh no! They said we're going to sit you down.
Well,
they
basically. I mean, it actually was not a very nice ending to a story because they made out like it was, you know, well, we're going to be all supportive and the like. And I wasn't ready to come out, so I said no, I'm not, because I was what, 16, 17 at the time.
Yeah.
But it actually turned out, and years later, I found out it was because they were all taking bets and wanted to have a bitch about me behind my back.
Oh, that's not nice. So when I came out, the one other gay woman that I knew, who I came out to, she was like, okay, Lucy, now you're out, I've got something very important to explain to you. Lesbians take shoes really seriously.
That is so true. I was literally talking to my queer friend about shoes today.
And I was like, okay, fine, thanks, noted. Any tips on how to get a girlfriend?
No, you just get your shoes right.
I mean, I didn't colour coordinate my hat with my shoes today at all for that reason.
I mean, when my mum first asked me about being gay, and I turned around and said, yeah, I am gay. This is genuine. She said, you can't be gay, you're too untidy.
Wow. I mean,
you don't meet the stereotype.
No.
You've got to go back in, go tidy up, and then come out again.
I mean, as a teenager, I was very untidy. I always had a very messy bedroom.
There
you go. You know.
I was that typical queer kid who didn't know they were queer, but also stole Diva magazine from the local newsagent and hid it under my bed.
Don't steal, kids. It's wrong.
No, don't steal. But when you're 14 and have no
and
money.
And pretty women. Do
yeah, and also Bizarre magazine. Does anyone remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I managed to get
sort
a subscription.
Countercultural magazine.
Yeah, with like queer, non-binary, and straight people, and they're all very diverse and covered in tattoos.
I was going to say lots of
very
tattoos
painfully
and piercing.
Attractive.
Yeah.
That magazine.
Yeah.
I managed to get through all of university looking and dressing like a huge lesbian, yet still thinking I was straight.
And how do you feel now, Lucy? Are you straight or
I feel like a massive lesbian?
Okay.
But what do you look like?
I look like someone's mum, Adarian, let's be honest.
No, you don't.
I've got my mid-40s try-hard side shave and that's it, and like honestly I'm just giving up on life.
We all look, oh wow, I mean that was a mic drop. And we all look queer.
I still take my shoes seriously.
Good.
How many of you were Black Sabbath fans?
Massive,
or fans of
the
TV show, and like it was one of those you just wanted to turn the TV off but you couldn't.
Yeah, addictive.
I had it on DVD.
Did you?
I adored Jack.
Was that so you could replay it?
Yeah, I adored Jack. I identified with him a lot. I loved when he would dress up sorry, it's just so funny, all in his army get up and then just walk outside with his gun around the pool. And nobody would really know what he was doing. And he had no headphones. He was just in his own little world. And I was like, that's me.
Just live it.
Without the guns.
Well,
that was the first representation you ever saw on screen. You're like, wow, that's me.
Niche interests.
Yep.
Well, coming up afterwards, we got the interview with Izzy and Scarlett. But I thought before we did that, because he very sadly passed away.
He did, and it is sad.
This week.
Rest in
you know,
peace.
I thought
did,
it's not normally the type of music we would play on this show, but it's. I thought we would have one to,
Well, he was a legend, and he was very loved, and I am thinking of his family.
And did he actually bite the head off a bat?
No.
We're all going to headbang along to this together,
aren't
we?
Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Here
Rock
we go.
Rock on.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Right. Still with the Edinburgh Fringe. Cara and Kelly are best friends forever.
in life. I'm joined by Izzy and Scarlett. Hi, both. How are you?
Hi. Very good. Thank you.
Right. Just because, Izzy, you're on the left of my screen, we're going to go for you first. Yeah. A bit of background about your theatre background. So growing up, were you always showing off to the family and hands up in school? I want to be the lead in the school play.
Well, it depends who you ask, I reckon. I was quite shy as a child, actually. I was quite a quiet teenager for a long time, and then very quickly discovered, yes, I would like to be in the school play. You know, I think, you know, you get to be Mary in the Nativity one time and your fate has kind of been sealed for you a little bit, despite apparently dropping the baby Jesus by his foot into the manger. I would like to hope that my stage craft has improved somewhat over the years, but who's to say, really? And then fell in love with theatre in my sort of late teens, and discovered what drama school was, decided that's what I wanted to do and go there, and did that, and now here we are.
Indeed. Scarlett, what about you?
Yeah, similar vibes in terms of the childhood. It's quite funny that we were both such shy children and have changed
not
so
shy.
Drastically in our adult lives. It's ridiculous. So I was shy, and I also got the lead in the school play when I was in year six. And then I got like a crazy thing that fell out of the sky, in that I got cast in Horrid Henry the movie when I was 11 years old. So that was a really like earth-shattering experience for me, and I got to see what it was like being on like a big film set with people like Angelica Houston and Richard E. Grant, who were just absolutely amazing and inspiring and had like left such an impression on me at an early age. And I went to acting classes at the Young Actors Theatre from sort of like 10 years old, and kept going with them through my teens as I was doing a bit of work in TV and film. So it was more TV and film for me, and then theatre came towards later on in my teens. I started getting really into theatre, and I think theatre as a discipline is really transferable to screen. So if you have like a theatre process for screen, it works like both ways. So I think theatre is like the discipline, but screen was like my first love, if that makes sense.
Did you ever star in your school nativity?
I was Mrs. Claus. Very, very like gender specific.
Oh, love it. Well, you both had better parts than I did in the school nativity. I played a tree one year.
No, really?
A tree.
To be fair, the next time in the Easter musical, I was the wife of the donkey owner. So it was a real downgrade real fast.
Oh my God.
This job will chew you up and spit you out. And I learned that very quickly.
There ought to be a competition, shouldn't there, between actors around the planet on who played the worst part in a nativity play.
There really should be. Yeah.
Right, who's going to tell me about the play that you're in? Izzy or Scarlett? Hands up.
What, me or you? Oh, man.
I don't want any fighting over this.
So the play is amazing. It's by Majola, who is like one of the most exciting playwrights I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And Majola approached me last year to basically talk about this play, because she saw me doing 10 minutes of this thing at the Almeida. And she was like, oh my God, I've got a play for you. And I read it and I absolutely loved it. And play itself, I would say, is a very generous, timely, incredibly like awakening and quite scary story, and it's from the perspective of two white teenage girls called Cara and Kelly, who are best friends. It's set in 2013, so it's a very interesting tipping point in terms of it's just before Brexit, it's just before the refugee crisis, which is kind of important, and there's lots going on in the world, but we only ever see these two characters on stage, and it's about their friendship and how their friendship is tested when a new girl comes to the school, and everything that they thought they had control over starts to slip through their fingers, and
It's kind of about a struggle for power that also investigates sort of the origins of racism in the brains of two characters that you ultimately really like and really vouch for. But then these things start to shift in their perspectives. So it's kind of about how far we go for friendship, but also kind of investigating this really kind of difficult thing in the consciousness of people in the UK. And I think particularly in terms of like where we're at now as a country in like the race riots that happened last year, it's very necessary to really look these issues in the eye, even if it's really hard for the audience. So yeah, it's amazing. It's so good.
I think that Brexit gave a lot of people an excuse. So what I think Brexit has given us, a lot of people, especially white individuals who feel empowered to be hateful and hurtful to other people. And I'm not just talking about race or skin colour. I'm talking about sexuality and gender, because we're now into gender wars. But it also could just be a deflection. But those that were balanced on whether they were going to be racially or prejudiced, or whether they were going to be homophobic or transphobic, were probably already there. So this is quite a significant play, isn't it, Izzy?
Yeah, completely. And I think, I mean, Scarlett's done such an amazing job of sewing it up, and Majola's writing is so extraordinary that it kind of, I think it does such a wonderful job of exploring, like, I think at the minute, you know, everyone is really, really keen on sort of, people seem to be very comfortable in like black and white viewpoints, and there's no sort of like, There's not a lot of nuance in I think kind of like group think at the moment, and there's not a lot of like investigation of thought and why we maybe are buying into certain like rhetorics, particularly very hateful ones. And I think that you're completely right that I feel like people have now been given sort of an excuse in a way to sort of, I don't know what it, I wonder if, you know, a lot of the time I think it's about sort of trying to make themselves feel more in control, or like there's more power, because essentially it feels like a lot of the time, you know, this sort of like rhetoric is being pushed on you by people above, and you're being provided with a common enemy that you're being told, well, if you hate this person is the root of your problems, and this group of people is the root of your problems, and here's why you can't afford your groceries, and here's why your rent prices are hiking up, and here's why da 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 da. When in reality, it's the people who are steering you in that direction who are like the problem. And I think it does a wonderful job of both highlighting like our individual responsibility to kind of take accountability and like dismantle those systems and like have an awareness of those systems and how that they can affect you, but also how hopeless a lot of the time people can feel within them. Like it's the story of the play is told very much through the lens of the perpetrators as opposed to the typical victims, and that's what is such a fascinating it's such a fascinating twist on it, and it's such a wonderfully effective way of telling this story. Because like Scarlett said, you do see these people who are perpetrating this like horrible systemic like failure and hate and bigotry. And also you completely understand how they got there. Mm-hmm. You don't justify their actions necessarily, but you understand how you get there, and you see them as victims in their own way. And it kind of, I think it just adds a wonderful layer of like complexity and nuance to this argument that people feel so constantly happy just going to one side or the other and not being able to kind of like sit in the grey. I think it's like a beautiful example of what the grey actually looks like for people.
It's a well-known tactic, isn't it, through history of the fascist right, to deflect.
Completely.
I mean, Hitler did it really well.
Yeah.
His deflection, and I think the right wing in this country are also doing it. Another great example is the States currently.
Where, oh my God.
The right,
yeah,
deflecting onto everybody. I mean, it is appalling what Trump is doing, dismantling American society, you know, and allowing hatred to just spill out into the streets.
Yeah, completely. And yeah, again, it's this whole thing, you're being forced by the people who are perpetrators to find another victim and put it on another victim. And you know, it's only going to unravel further. It's just so easy to get sucked into like that rhetoric when the propaganda is so well funded,
yeah,
and so accessible. And yeah.
Mm. Mm. Does it make you, Scarlett, does it make you sort of aghast, really, that history seems to be repeating itself with this? Because yeah, if you look back when Christianity started, how it was weaponized, Christianity was just taken up and weaponized to rape and pillage by European countries across the world. We saw that again with Hitler rising to power, wanting white supremacy. You've got Trump, who's best mates with white supremacists and all that. Do you feel appalled sometimes that people just seem to be dragged into this without even thinking, hang on a minute, we've done this before and look what happened, but we
need
to be doing it all again?
It's nuts. It's really nuts. And I mean, it's such a, it's almost like we have this like amnesia as a society and we'd rather not connect or engage. And I mean, I have such difficulty even in my own friendship group of people who are on social media and have all these followings and don't post about what's happening in America or with the genocide. And it feels like we would rather forget. And I think that we really need art in this moment to remind us of our collective responsibility. Like, that's what I think is so interesting about the play. Thinking about children in relation to this kind of adult world that they're trying to understand, but also feel so incredibly hostile. And again, like they won't be listened to. They won't have their fears. They're deeply scared, both of these kids, but they won't have their fears listened to. And actually what it really highlights more than anything else is the kind of systemic and interpersonal failure of the adult world to listen to these kids and these, like, to kind of intercept at the right moment. And actually, like, the societal neglect of children is something that we're witnessing all across the world right now. You know, even in the States, I saw something yesterday that ICE have started deporting foster kids, you know, like, and the children in Gaza, like, it's just, you know, I can't even begin to imagine the generational trauma that has been fostered by these adult idiots.
And I guess there's a sense of helplessness, isn't there, and hopelessness from people like us who are trying to do our bit, get the word out there, you know, the word of, from my perspective, the word of sanity, you know, trying to pull us back from the brink. And plays like this are so powerful currently.
Yeah.
And like you've said, that it's very timely.
Well, and also it being set like 2013, like 12 odd years ago, like that's like, you know, pre-Brexit, like we said, pre the first Trump administration. Like, it's so interesting seeing how it's not the conception of anything. It's not like, oh God, this all started in 2013, but it's an extraordinary sort of flashback to like what feels like this real turning point and this real, like, you know, social media, for example, and like very much Facebook era and like this sort of beginnings of like influence online.
Yeah, when you say influence, Izzy, there's also a lot of lies going on out there.
Exactly.
So for influence, read, I'm going to tell a pack of lies. And I know there's a lot of people who will believe me because they just want to.
And it gets packaged up in this, in an article or in a Facebook post or in something that, you know, people hadn't, and people still evidently haven't, like, you know, media literacy is at an all-time low, it feels like. But especially at the time when everyone was sort of learning, like, the credibility of sources and you know, people were sort of learning how to, what's the word, sort of like, again, influence, like, use social media and that kind of thing and the internet to sort of like really target and influence specific groups of people. And the play does such an incredible job of sort of unpicking how easily it can spread, especially amongst groups of people who are vulnerable in other ways in society and who aren't being looked after. And who are in poverty or who are, you know, struggling with addiction or disabilities or like anything like that. You know, and at the minute as well, again, it feels like we're telling a story that's set 10 years ago, but it's so painfully relevant to now. And I hope that it can kind of have this little like flick of a switch moment where you realize, God, you know, if I'd have known 10 years ago what I know now, it's like, well, you do, and here's your opportunity. And it's also it's an incredibly funny play. It's incredibly witty, it's incredibly human, it's like wonderfully childlike in so many ways, and it's like, it's so entertaining that it's not just sort of like a barrage of like scolding or like kind of, you know, it's not trying to force people to feel one way or another or do something specifically. It just lays it out so clearly that you can kind of like hopefully take in what you see and make your own decisions about how comfortable you feel sitting next to that.
There's examples of previous TV series, films and that deal with really traumatic stuff, but are comedies. And that is really good production when you can see the seriousness of maybe a war, like MASH, the series MASH.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Where you could be crying one moment and then laughing the next. That is very skilled. And that sounds like the similar thing to what you're actually doing here.
Completely. We've been describing it as like a Trojan horse of a play, which I think is quite clever, especially in the context of the Edinburgh Fringe, which is, you know, it's got a particular demographic by and large. And I think it's really clever to kind of bring this in. Even in the marketing, we didn't want to. It's so interesting, like having those conversations about like what we do and do not give away about the play, because I think certain people could look at our poster and just see, oh, this is going to be a fun play about teenage girls, and then they're going to get a slap in the face.
Right, we've run completely out of time. And so we need to know where you're performing, where people can get tickets, websites and your socials.
Yes.
Then should I take a whack at it, and then please correct
me?
The play is called Cara and Kelly Are Best Friends Forever for Life. We have two previews in London, one at the Seven Dials Playhouse on the 23rd, which has sold out. And then we have our final London preview on the 26th of July at Omnibus Theatre. And then we will be at the Fringe for the full month of August, sort of from the 30th of July until the 20th of August. 5th, thank you. At the Pleasance Courtyard at 3:20 p.m. in Bunker 3. You know, our straight through bish bash bosh. Social media, you can find us at Tigers Not Daughters, and all of the further links for tickets and everything like that are in there, and there's the handle for the play itself, which you can all find in that one space. Come see, we'd love to have you.
Thank you. Well, break a leg both, Izzy and Scarlett, thank you for joining us here on Shout Out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So nice to meet you.
Hi, this is Ultra Nate, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Bit of Ed Sheeran there.
Especially when he's singing with Justin Sapphire. Bieber. Just sort of drop his name in there.
Was he on that?
No, but I just love him.
You're like in your dreams he's on that
yeah,
song.
I just love him. Yeah.
It's because you look in the mirror every morning and see him, isn't it?
Little bit. I mean, yeah.
A bit better that than Ed Sheeran.
I like the fact that I said that and even Steph turned around and looked at me and chuckled.
He's so beautiful. Sorry, listeners. It's just a little love of mine. I love the
boob. The big boob.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think we've got something else coming up now that's not Justin.
We've got news headlines. Yeah, it's not Justin. Not as far as I'm aware. I don't think he's in the news.
Bring him in.
This week, is he Justin Bieber?
Well, you never know where he's going to pop up next.
But he's doing all right. Bring in a bit.
Cool. Right. Anyway, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
Trans advocacy groups are calling on all members of the LGBTQIA plus community to wake up and smell the coffee after a British court ruling that unchallenged claimed that trans people were gender ideologues and also sought to stop public bodies from supporting Pride. Blogger Daniel Lismore reports a High Court judge officially described the existence of trans and non-binary people as gender ideology. Not in a tweet, not in a podcast, in a courtroom, in a legal ruling with the full authority of British law behind it. Let that sink in. The case was brought by gender-critical activist Lindsay Smith, who claimed it was unlawful for Northumbria Police to show support for LGBT plus inclusion at Newcastle Pride 2024. Her argument asserted that seeing the Pride flag and police officers in uniform created a marginalising atmosphere because she opposes trans rights. She suggested that visibility and support for a marginalised group amounted to a form of oppression against her. The court did not fully agree. It held that police backing for LGBT plus inclusion is not inherently unlawful. But what the judgment did say was deeply troubling. It found that uniformed officers marching with pride symbols could reasonably appear politically partial. That in itself is worrying. But buried within the legal language was something even more alarming. Mr. Justice Linden used the phrase gender ideology as though it described a neutral concept, rather than framing it as a tactic of dehumanisation. That single turn of phrase reduces lived identity to ideology, a political choice to debate, rather than a protected characteristic to respect. The actions of the litigious woman, Lindsay Smith, could be useful in finally demonstrating that a small number of lesbian feminists who oppose trans rights, that they suppose TERFs will turn on them too, given that Smith is also trying to undermine Pride celebrations and police involvement in them. Daniel finishes his blog post suggesting that people contact their MPs as soon as possible to express horror at Mr. Justice Linden's ruling. He concludes, trans identities are not ideology. They are real. They are protected. They are lives. Hatred and erasure are the true ideologies here. This is a choice moment. Pick a side. Share this. Speak out. The time for silence has passed.
Television science presenter Jim Al-Khalili writes for Humanists UK about the populist assault on freedom of thought and on science and technology by Trumpists, populists, TERFs and religious maniacs. Jim writes, at Humanists UK, we've always trusted in the power of critical thinking and the scientific method. We've believed peer-reviewed research, not social media influencers or clickbait headlines, offer the clearest lens through which to understand our world. But today, this evidence-based approach is under attack. The rise of anti-science, anti-expert thinking is no longer confined to the fringes of the internet. It is a well-funded, highly coordinated and disturbingly effective. Conspiracy theory platforms and misinformation-driven accounts can often outspend, outshout and outreach the very scientists and experts trying to keep the public informed. They deploy slick videos, viral memes and emotional testimony that spread falsehoods rather than facts to catch up. Faster than facts can catch up, I beg your pardon. We're no longer talking about a few individuals who think the moon landing was staged or that the Earth is flat. These views, harmless as they may seem, are part of a broader and more dangerous culture of mistrust. And when that distrust spreads to areas like vaccines, climate change, reproductive rights or end-of-life choices, the consequences are real and often devastating. In just the last week, a child in Liverpool has died of measles, a completely preventable illness. In the Northwest, only 85% of children are vaccinated, with even lower rates in Liverpool, that's 73%, and Manchester, 75%. The World Health Organization recommends 95% coverage to ensure herd immunity. This gap isn't just a statistic, it's a vulnerability exploited by misinformation.
The left-wing weekly Socialist Worker says that anyone in liberal, left or progressive movements needs to respond to the threat of fascist thuggery in the streets of Essex. In an editorial, the paper says, Epping has become a focal point for the British far right. Fascist thugs have gone on the rampage against refugees at the Bell Hotel in the Essex town three times, and they want to do it again on Sunday. The eruption of racist violence on the streets has not come out of nowhere. Who has emboldened these fascist thugs? Decades of mainstream politicians, the Tories and Labour alike, scapegoating migrants and refugees has laid the ground for the rise of the far right. They blamed migrants to deflect from their own failures, which legitimised racism and drove politics rightward. The result is Nigel Farage's far-right party, Reform UK, topping the polls and replacing the Tories as the main force on the right. Its impact on British politics is toxic, and the violence in Epping hammers that home. Reform UK and the networks of fascist thugs that Robinson mobilises represent different dynamics of the British far right, and Farage has tried to maintain a separation between Reform UK and Tommy Robinson's supporters who want to build a violent street movement. But Epping marks a shift, with Reform UK directly lending legitimacy to the fascists. Farage claimed that the racist thugs were genuinely concerned families. He asserted that simmering anger over the arrival of refugees would result in what he called mass civil disobedience.
Worrying times indeed. LGBTQ Nation Newswire reports that Democratic Representative Mark Takano, who is an out gay man elected to the House of Representatives in the States, has warned that regardless of party affiliation, people should be genuinely worried at a remark made by a senior Trump administration official. Education Secretary Linda McMahon implied that the Holocaust denialism was a valid viewpoint for a university professor to hold in an op-ed for The Hill newspaper. Takano recounted as deeply disturbing an exchange with Ms. McMahon during a House Education and Workforce Committee hearing. "Madam Secretary," he said, "does refusing to hire a Holocaust denial as a member of Harvard's History Department faculty count as an ideological litmus test?" Takano asked. He explained the administration's obsession with so-called viewpoint diversity on college campuses. Trump officials have weaponized the phrase as a dog whistle to mean eliminating progressive values in favor of conservative ones. Takano, who is chair of the Congressional Equality Caucus and was the first out LGBTQ person of color elected to Congress, cited that Ms. McMahon for her continued inability to hash out the details of how the DOE can enforce this quest for so-called diverse viewpoints.
And finally this week, Diana Piccoli, writing at News Is Out, says, "Sometimes you just want to curl up with something warm and familiar, and for many of us, that means a queer comfort watch. From beloved series to feel-good films, we asked our staff and readers to share their go-to favourites. On the list are some classic serials such as Schitt's Creek and Sense8, but the winner is, well, that would be telling. Check out News Is Out for the classic 80s series with a very big heart and lots of love to go round for LGBTQIA+ people."
Be sure to connect to LGBTQIA+ media through the week. Pride.com has a list of LGBTQIA radio stations and podcasts, and is a good place to start exploring. And of course, you can always find us 24 hours a day at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Lucy Potter
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
bit of Calvin Harris. That's with Clementine Douglas. That's called The Blessings.
Is that new?
Yeah, very new.
He's always got a song every summer, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's how he makes his money.
He must defrost himself and go, well, summer's here.
Oh my God, my money is falling. So yeah. Let's lift it for summer.
I've now just got a vision of Calvin Harris in this cryogenic.
Yeah, like, I'm alive. Yeah, someone give me a VPN.
The mummy returns, kind of waking up.
I'm reborn. Yeah. I don't know where he's from, but I don't think he's like.
He's Scottish, right?
Isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I am reborn.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Let's do a Bristolian one now.
Bring me the roots.
I
really like all the tunes that are on tonight. So if you've got any accents you'll put my way, I could probably try them out.
What's your favourite?
Yorkshire.
My favourite accent. Yeah, it's Yorkshire. It's like, it really is, isn't it? You know, like, it probably slips and slides.
She's got a better Yorkshire accent than me, so.
Probably.
Yeah. I wish I could do accents.
I could do the Irish as well, you know, like, that's me cliche. And I can talk about butter and sheep.
Can you do a Sarah Millican?
Is that read? I want to talk to you about pastry and buttercups and cakes.
That's actually
absolutely lovely.
We could just pretend that she was in the studio we're interviewing her.
Could pretend, you know, maybe Sarah Millican is here and she's so excited because Shout Out is amazing.
It's almost like Geordie Shore-esque as well.
Right.
Like almost go into like what she would be like.
I've got to think about that because Geordie Shore is a little bit lower tone. Yeah, but you know.
Say mortal. Like, say mortal.
Mortal. Yeah, mortal. Yeah. Excited. Yeah. You know, like it's lower.
And it's Scotty T because he's got a weapon.
Like Scotty T is like proper livid.
He says something about...
If you just tuned in, you are listening to Shout Out. I promise you.
That's so good.
Before we run out of time, we ought to mention it is Bath Pride. This weekend.
Yes.
Hasn't happened for a few years. It didn't happen last year, did it, through memory? It
happened last year, but there's been a kerfuffle.
Oh, okay.
And we reported on it. So we've had some replies from the committee. Three people earlier this year who we had on the show last year to publicise it have all resigned.
Oh.
Due to accusations of racism towards the committee. The committee said that they've had an investigation, an internal one, and they've all been cleared. So Bath Pride is still going to happen this Saturday. We've offered the committee space on this show to come back at the accusations by the three people that have now left Bath Pride that were the ones that we originally spoke to last year.
Right.
But it's important Bath Pride goes ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say. And they're after support as well, aren't they? They're after some people to volunteer.
I think
don't happen without volunteers.
Yeah,
so
there's always
it's
issues.
It's never too late.
And regardless, because I don't want to offer an opinion here. You know, it's always to do with
the thing
what,
is, we're not perfect either, are we?
But we're close. All we've shared is what other people have said. There's
no
opinions.
The weather.
So if you want to attend, incredible. You know, be around people. Be in a safe space, be in a LGBT quest space, you know, that's what it's about. Andy told me to say that.
it is worth saying, and hopefully this was posted this morning and maybe they've resolved it, but they were told that they actually do need some static stewards to stay behind on Great Pulteney Street for the march. Just literally standing still next to a road closed sign, so telling drivers to go somewhere else. If they don't get those people, then the Pride March won't be able to go ahead because they...
Okay.
So this was as of this morning. If you can give up an hour of your time in Bath on Saturday just to go and stand there and tell cars to drive away, please email hello@bathpride.org. You know, it's basically from 11:30 to 1:00. It's like an hour and a half of your day and you'll be helping something go ahead. I mean, they only need 8 people to do it and this was posted this morning. So hopefully they've got the support, but please go do that.
We do go out in Bath Sound, so yeah. If you're listening on there, absolutely ideal one for you. Give them a bit of a helping hand because you know we forget when we get Bristol Pride and the size that is.
Yeah.
These things do take a lot to get off the ground.
They do. Yeah. So that's hello@bathpride.org.
Yeah.
Amazing.
If you get really stuck, give Lucy a shout because she's brilliant standing in front of things, aren't you?
You did it for prof. I can do it. I've got my high vis vest.
On a very, very...
I'd say take Steph, but she hijacks buses.
Yeah. She just jumps on them and just goes her own way.
She's dangerous.
later, I caught up with Tony, one of the guys that does a lot of the photography, last night, and he was saying that he'd posted up a lot of the shots from Pride this year, and he's on his Instagram, he's got like, you know, 100 followers or something, and he sent them to Ali X, and she reposted them, and all of a sudden his Instagram literally exploded with thousands of likes.
Oh my goodness, I need to say something really, really quickly. So I accidentally stumbled upon Brighton Trans Pride on Saturday with my incredible brother, who is a trans and logistical ally. It was insanely incredible. And we saw Kate Nash singing German. We were front row.
That's so
good. He cried before I did. Oh, and do you know what? He said something really touching.
He's a bit soft to your brother, really.
Oh, he's adorable. And he looked at me and went, do you think it would be all right if I took my t-shirt off? I don't want to upset, you know, people. Mm. I was like, Jacob, why would that upset people? He was like, I just want to love everyone. I was like, oh, I just love you. And then he took his t-shirt off, and then, you know, many a person were attracted to him and offered to buy him a drink.
There we go.
There you go. But it was incredible. If you haven't listened to Germ, listeners, by Kate Nash, listen and follow her, because she is the most incredible cis ally, other than Pedro Pasquale. Mm.
And if you'd like to see Ez's brother, he was on Ninja something.
He was on Ninja Warrior, yeah, Jacob Peregrine Weller. Yeah. Yeah, very proud of him. Yeah. And he's
hence
a lovely
why
man.
He's a bit fit. Mm. You know.
Mm. A bit fit.
A bit fit. Yeah.
He's a beautiful man.
That's the polite PC term we're going to use. Yeah. Bit fit.
Bit fit. So weird, because
it's your brother.
Because I'm like relating it to he's very athletic. And he's.
No, I'm being purely plutonic. I wouldn't dare.
You're being PC.
I'm being very PC.
Yeah, PC.
PC. Oh, PC.
Oh, what do you mean? I'm being PC. This has been a shout out.
It's been a very weird shout out.
A little bit. It's been fun.
And we've got quite a few things coming. I think we're going to try and do Ultranate's interview next week.
Oh, wonderful. That was so great.
We're going to try and get that.
Sat in the corner like.
she's having hot flashes. She's been up in the server room, bless her.
Yeah.
It's very hot up there too. You know,
yeah, so. She has indeed. But there's been so many incredible things.
And
we've
got lots of film stuff coming up, I think, too, as well, hopefully.
Mm.
Which should be good.
So. Yeah, there's so much stuff coming up, listeners, so please do keep tuning in.
Because we're fun also.
We're so fun.
And you don't know what accent you're going to get. That's the rule.
That's right, absolutely correct.
Can you do any then?
No. I mean, probably, but like, it would just be an Australian. No. No,
I
think
I want to get started. That's how I want to go.
That sounds more Irish.
Yeah. No. No, Andrew.
Don't call me Andrew.
Andy.
Right, you ready for this bit?
All right.
I don't know that I got this right either.
I'm ready.
But still. That's it for this week. If you're looking... I'll start again, shall I?
Go on, then.
We're looking for people like you. If you want to get involved in radio, you want to learn to interview or do research or loads of other things, and we would love you to get in touch, please.
Oh, yeah. Volunteer us now. Go to shoutoutradio.lgbt and get in contact if you'd like to get involved with Shoutout.
And in English, you can just go to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
That's right.
Next week, as I said, Ultranate. From me and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Ciao. Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.